Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. We didn't have the opportunity to get a show yesterday. It was Odyssey. Odyssey was not working. And then 30 minutes after I canceled the show, people started saying, okay, it's solved. But I was too tired yesterday, so I couldn't. I didn't want to come back and restart a show. So it was a streaming platform problem here. The media that they were trying to process live just wasn't processing. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Today we're doing the Ask Me Anything that I was supposed to do yesterday. I've been spending my day finalizing my planting of stuff in the greenhouse and in the raised bed. All of my surface is now planted in full. So I'm super happy about this. Pineapple Platypotamus says, I still haven't been able to master the art of fixing drama between two people. Have you? No, I don't think it's an art. I don't think you should engage in this. People who are resolver of problems for others, social problems of that kind, I think they're going to spend a lot of energy doing useless stuff. I don't think it's going to be any useful. People who want to engage in confrontation and drama, they do so consensually. They don't want to be stopped. They like it that way. It's the normies' way to form alliances and dissolve alliances. It's not something that you can intervene and be a resolver of stuff. The reality is that most conflict, almost all conflict in society, is avoidable, and yet people still engage in it. That's because deeply they want it. They're programmed genetically to want this conflict. You know, I think of the woman I've been with in my life, and I think of all these relationships that summed up to abuse and them yelling at me and being disagreeable with me. And all that would have taken is that they tolerate that someone else is in the room with them. All that's needed is that the woman accepts not to be abusing, not to be yelling at you. Other than this, I'm offering a full neutral service. It's like, if you're pissed against me today, I don't mind. Just stop yelling at me. Just stop being in my life. There's a door there. Why don't you go the other side of the door and wait there until you're not pissed anymore? But no, it never ends up like this. They seek confrontation. And as you've seen with Amber Heard, by the way, we've seen this full display in Amber Heard. She was looking for drama. And when Johnny Depp was trying to get away from it to offer a kind of resolution in, okay, we're just going to be away from each other for a couple of minutes or hours, she would say, oh no, that's you escaping the situation. So basically, women have it in their brain, and some men also have it in their brain, to be systematic abusers and to want the abuse to continue. They in fact define you trying to escape the abuse as evil or as mean, or oh my god, I can't believe that you disrespect me by trying to get away from my abuse toward you. That's how the normie thinks, and so you're not going to solve drama. Drama is something they like. Pineapple Platypotamus says, why do men want drama though? I get that all women want drama to control men, but men are more subconscious about it. Well, you know, in the world of men, there can be conflict, but then the conflict will be essentially, I don't want to see this guy. I don't want to be around this guy. I'm not even going to go to a party where this guy is. And then there can be the physical confrontation, but there's this all in between. There's very little of it in the male world. In the female world, it's all in between. It's all in between the physical confrontation and the I'm going to let it go and let him do his thing and ignore him. Women are incapable of these two extremes. Well, they're capable of physical confrontation, but they are like fish in the water in the in-between, between laissez-faire and ignoring the other and building the conflict into a physical confrontation. John Drake says there is less conflict between men because it can escalate to death. Yes, I think that the reason why the male world is that digital, that binary, instead of using the kind of continuum of aggression with words, is precisely that most words will not be worth your life and your life could be lost. And so if there's a bigger threat, there's more of an evolutionary force making sure that you will avoid the final confrontation. And so there's more ways to de-escalate. Sigidam Sengis says, is it worth moving to another country to improve chances of finding a good woman? Most women in my country seem extremely keen to signal their leftism. It's so obnoxious. It can be worth it. It can be worth it, but you have to have means and you have to have ways so that your status will become quickly desirable in the other country. And this is not for everyone. If you have nothing, if you don't have much money, if you don't have a good job, if you have nothing of big status, then at least being someone known in your local community can be something that's helping you. But if you go to a totally new country, you start from scratch in terms of community building. And so you better have something that makes you attractive in this new country. If that is the case, then it's possible that it might be an intelligent move for you. But target the country, aim for poverty. Poverty is the lubricant of vaginas across the planet. And also don't think that the only option for you is in another country. Consider the possibility that you may have been hanging in the wrong places in your own country. As Firestarter points out, go rural in your own country. You know, Canada is a shithole of communism, but you go in a very distant place in Canada, you find farmer type, conservative types of people. And so don't necessarily think that it's your only option, but sometimes it may be a good option. All right, if you'd like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Odyssey Super Chats are my favorite platform for supporting the show and for asking your questions. Alternatively, you can click the link to Entropy in the description below. You can also join the Discord if you would like to appear on the show and talk to me. I am available. It's an Ask Me Anything, so just join the Discord server in the description below and join the waiting room on your left. And when I see you there, I will slide you in and you can discuss with me live. Make sure you set up your earphones and microphones if you intend to come, because it sucks when someone is not prepared and we don't hear their voice. Thomas Howard says, modern-day male drama has increased because young men were prevented from learning where the boundary lines are drawn. They were prevented from learning by active and aggressive anti-bullying campaigns throughout 12 years of public school education, probably a factor in increasing LGBTQ+ also. Absolutely, it's a new landscape for males because males have never evolved in a context where where the least of aggression will be punished. And in fact, not even the aggression anymore is punished, but in the modern world, the preparation to aggression, the threat, the de-escalating tactic has been neutralized by women. Because women do not understand that insults and yelling at each other and sometimes even bullying are de-escalating tactics of the male world. That is something you have to understand. The dog barking, that's a de-escalating tactic. Because he's not he's barking instead of biting you. So he's trying to make it a zero cost opportunity for you to avoid a fight. And you avoid a fight by responding to his barking and stepping back, getting away. The problem is that women have a complete misunderstanding of what is violence and what is de-escalation. And they simply think, well, anything else than us being love bears and just riding over rainbows saying how we love each other, anything else than this will be considered aggression. When in fact, some of it should be respected as boundary setting and threats for the purpose of avoiding aggression. John Drake says it could be something in the water. The EPA is admitting tap water is dangerous and hurting people. Yes, I wouldn't exclude that possibility. It's notoriously the case that pills are very hard to remove from the water flow of big cities. And there's so much birth pill going around. There are basically female hormones going around. So you'd have to be careful if you live in the big city. I don't have to worry about this because I pump my water straight from nature. There is not a big enough population to somehow tint this water with anything. So I'm very glad of the water quality that we've got when we moved away from civilization. Because there are studies that indicate that you can actually do mentally better if you're in a place that has wells that that pull the water from nature. So there must be something wrong with city water, but is it the fluoride? Is it is it a conspiracy, the fluoride to turn people depressive? Or is it something like the incapacity to remove all medication, including female hormones, could be any of this. Yesterday, Gavin Newsom announced, I just joined Trump's Truth Social, going to be on there calling out the Republican lies. This could get interesting. My first post breaking down America's red state murder murder problem. So this guy is going on Truth Social to signal to his leftist friend, look, I'm engaging with the Nazis. I'm trying to explain to them that they have a problem related to gun rights. Of course, what he implies with his Truth post is that because the Republican states have more lax gun legislation, there's more guns that end up in homicides, and all you would have to do to stop these homicides is gun control and less gun in people's hand. But I want to point to something. So if you want to look at state by state issues with homicide, you have to look at this map. So that's the intentional homicide rate per 100,000 residents in 2020. You can see a pattern here. Sure, this will affect certain Republican states, but basically there is a belt of the South where homicides are more likely to happen. Now, there is something in the state analysis that is extremely deceptive, which is the reason these states are Republican is not located inside the same place physically as the reason why there's high murder. Because these murders happen in big cities that are controlled by Democrats. So, but still, I wanted to point out the pattern that we see is there's the belt of the South and then a belt at the center with the Northwest being relatively high. Now, look at another fact of American life. The percentage population of African Americans alone or in combination. And what do we see? We see the Saturn Belt, and we see high population of African American in this area here. So I just want to say there is an absolute correlate between murder rates and race. Murder rates and race. I mean, this could be the same map. This could be laid out one on top of another. There is some little variation where it doesn't fully correlate, but it's a strong correlation. And so you cannot talk of the state difference of murder in America while ignoring the demographics question and the location question, in that these murders happen in big cities. Now, I was pointing out on Gav, somehow Gavin Newsom is asking us to explain to him, why is there more murder in Republican states? Well, let me suggest a reason. Perhaps gun legislation is lax in these places because people are legitimately worried that they will have to use guns in self-defense. Perhaps the gun legislation is not a cause of the number of murder that we see, but it's the political reaction. Perhaps in a state where murders are lower, there is less fear, and they end up having their gun confiscated by their own governments. Thomas Howard says, the worst state appears to be Louisiana, but overall it's a low crime state. Dig into what happens in New Orleans. Definitely fits with JF's hypothesis if you examine demographics. Absolutely. Shelburne says, stay out of the belt, even the rural areas. Yes, I've been to Louisiana, I've been to New Orleans, I've been to Texas, I've been to the southern state, and let me tell you, I wouldn't go live there. Seems, and I know, you know, you might think, oh, well, it's Republican there, it's going to be okay. Somehow it's Republican, but it's another people voting Republican. I don't feel at home in the South of America. Texas looks like Mexico. Louisiana looks like, I don't know, a floating sewer. New Orleans, let's not even talk about it. I mean, it's like open sky sewers, these places. It's disgusting. It doesn't seem civilized. It seems like there's extreme activity of gangs and criminality, extreme poverty all across. I'm not going to live there. When I say go live to a Republican area, let's be clear, I'm talking about those central and northern white states that vote right-wing. Because somehow these shitholes at the south, in the south of America, somehow they end up voting Republican. But somehow, something tells me it's not a right-wing thing. Something tells me it's just, I don't know, some kind of racial conservatism perhaps that leads them to vote Republican. Firestarter says New Orleans is worse than Old Orleans. I don't know where Old Orleans is, but New Orleans is a open sky psychiatric hospital, as far as I'm concerned. Colbert crew arrested at the U.S. Capitol. A dark day for our democracy. Our democracy is under attack. The leftists have had their own insurrection 2 days ago. I couldn't cover it yesterday because I was on vacation due to the bug at Odyssey. Yes, it seems that the crew of Stephen Colbert got arrested for trespassing in the U.S. Capitol. Apparently, they were trying to film some joke comedy stuff around January 6th, but they ended up committing crimes in the process because they were told by the security guards Do not come back here. You don't have your permission. Do not come back. And they came back. They came back to film more scenes. And it seems that they have done so with the permission of Adam Schiff and other big Democrats that let them in. How is that not? How could we make it so that people take this as seriously as they've taken the January 6th stuff? Because as far as I'm concerned, what I've seen on January 6th is a bunch of clowns who some of them may have identified as right wing and Trump supporter, but some people completely lost also coming to chill in the Capitol Hill and not ever being told to exit. In this case, they've been told to exit. So in many ways, this should lead to more criminal persecution than what we've seen with January 6. Someone says the audio is low. I can try amplifying it a little bit. But yeah, I think it's the orientation with the mic that was not good. I think it should be better that way. So yes, we should see as big consequences as we've seen with January 6. On top of it, they were they were warned and they disobeyed to the order. Benny Johnson, that's also something I wanted to cover yesterday. The Slack messages on the Twitter employee Slack channel while Elon Musk was giving his speech to the Twitter employees. Most of the comments in this chat are interpreting Elon's off-the-cuff answers in the least generous way possible. Whatever your opinion of him or your legitimate fears and misgivings about a future under his leadership, it might be worthwhile to keep a more open mind. Money is not fundamentally digital, not seeing any equity analysis or awareness there. I don't know why Twitter has decided to refresh. Oh, yeah, Twitter. It's because what we were reading was on a video. And of course, Twitter wants to stop you from listening videos. They always do this. Well, that's it. They've completely. It's like, do they watch my show? How could they know that I was watching it and they've reset my browser? I don't know. Anyways, I can't even restore it. It's like they deleted the video while we were reading it. Sorry, but you had the Twitter employees being triggered. You had some of them saying that basically Elon Musk just said all lives matter. And I don't even know that he used these words, but somehow he suggested that that everyone matters in terms of being respected on Twitter and feeling that they are welcome on Twitter. If you're triggered by this, there's a problem. Lapitop says this extension is awesome to speed up vids. Only place it doesn't work is vids on Twitter. Well, Twitter is not even a video platform. Every time I try to play the videos, they stop working during the show. Republican officials in New Mexico County refuse to certify election results, and state officials want a criminal probe. So this guy, Cui Griffin, has decided that he didn't trust the voting machines, the Dominion voting machines, and he said he refused to certify the election. Up to now, there was also two others on the board refusing with him, so it was blocking the certification of the election. But now, the two others have bent the knee because they were ordered by the State Supreme Court of New Mexico to certify the election even against their belief. And this guy is the only one who held to his contrarian stance against the state court order, the state Supreme Court. So maybe there's going to be criminal consequences for him. It's extremely bizarre that we have in the law boards to certify election. And when these boards come to us and they say, look, Jeff, I can't sign this paper in good conscience. It is my impression that the methods of voting that we've used are absolutely unreliable. And now we have the state Supreme Court saying, no, sign the paper. You have no choice. Why do we have this process of certification if the certifier doesn't even have freedom of speech? Then the certifier is not a certifier. To be a certifier, you need to be given the opportunity to not certify, or else your certification has no value at all. I cannot believe that this whole system is like this, where you should be able to sue the state of New Mexico and say, I'm suing you for misrepresentation. Those are not certifiers. Those are yes men, carriers of order, who if they ever try to not certify your election, you're going to have them by force of the courts, you're going to have them forced to certify. So that certification means absolutely nothing. Snow John says, JF, will you ever red pill Ryan Dawson on race? No. And there's no such thing as red pilling people, especially not people who are already set in life and they have an opinion that's well developed already. You're not going to red pill them. You can put them in front of facts that will challenge their established belief, but Ryan Dawson is too old and too intelligent to be convinced of anything at his age, and it's not an insult to him. But the same is true of me. I mean, are you going to red pill me to the greatness of LGBT activism and how I've been wrong all my life and look at how great it is? No, it's not going to happen. I'm 38 years old. I'm well past the time at which you can insert things in my brain, you know, that would be fundamentally shaking my core. And so I think persuasion is overrated. You can give arguments that people want to use and will use, but you don't really convince. You don't really change minds. You're really just giving away information that people with their pre-established preference can approach and drain from you and use in their own context. John Drake says, yep, it took me forever to figure it out, but persuasion doesn't work. You know, stunningly, there is no such thing, basically. It's a false conception that there is an ongoing discussion and we're convincing each other. And it's what we want to do, but it's not what we're doing. Thomas O'Ward says, the point of any debate is its effect on the audience. This is how debates are judged to be won or lost. I mean, the thing is, you have pre-established fans of the position in a debate. You have people rooting for A, you have people rooting for B. And then you have the conviction that, suppose that debater A does extremely good. Then the A are super satisfied and they're cheering. It's like, oh yeah, we crushed him. The Bs sometimes will detect the weakness of their own debater, and they'll be like, oh my God, there was a much better argument to make for B. But you haven't convinced anyone. You haven't convinced anyone unless someone was really entering this debate with I don't care. I have no idea whether A or B is true. I want to be. I'm shopping for persuasion here. I'm opened, but very few people enter debates with that mood. Most people are already set on subjects, and especially someone like Ryan Dawson, he's convinced himself that racial belonging is not so important, and so be it. There's never going to be a fact that hits him in the face and makes him realize how misguided that is. Ariel Suarez says Ryan Dawson is not entirely blue-pilled on race. He just thinks that economic systems and political philosophy on a population plays a much bigger factor. Yeah, exactly. And no, I think the race correlate is strong, and we have to take it into account when expecting, for example, a population to be persuaded by right-wing ideas. The demographics of that population will absolutely matter and will be a sine qua non condition of a victory. All right, the progression of the war in Ukraine. There has been plenty of bombardment, and we have one image here of a bomb that exploded in Dnipro, right here. And there's been increased activity, I would say, on the Russian side. Lots of shooting, lots of artillery, including up to Kharkiv, still a target apparently of the war effort. But perhaps the most interesting development is the progression of the encirclement of now not only Severodonetsk, which has been taken over in its majority, but Lysychansk also seems like it will fall. Battles continue in Severodonetsk. Russian army shelled Lysychansk, Metiolkin, Usnivka, Voronezh. General staff, according to the General Staff of Armed Forces of Ukraine in the morning report, and the axis of progression from Popasna here seems to be closing out extremely well. I remember a time at which the Russian forces were timidly advancing in the Popasna region. They are now well through, and they are shooting centers here, including this city here. So it looks like the Russians will be able to encircle even Lysychansk, and that Lysychansk's fate is the same as Severodonetsk here. Thomas Howard says, I'll be happy to debate JF and Ryan Dawson on race realism. They can join forces and argue the liberal position to the right of me. The liberal position to the right of you. That doesn't work. There's up to the left of me, he means. Well, there's not much for me to debate around a race, you know? The races are ensemble of genes that cluster together, that reproduce together, and that statistically and collectively differentiate themselves from the genes that are also clustered in the other races. There hasn't been a single valid critique of this conception of race. There hasn't been, and I'm not interested in debating more than this. It's like this is what's happening. If you define race correctly, if you don't define it dishonestly like a leftist who's trying to set a definition to eventually show that it doesn't exist, if you just define it naturally with what we know to be the case, races exist, period. Now you're gonna have all sorts of blurring, and you're gonna I mean, it's down to the point where there are certain scientists who are like, let's talk about Kleins. Okay. Well, Kleins are races basically, but you see it more as a continuum. You just jumped. You just took the definition of races. You made it jump to a new word. That doesn't change anything because there's never been a belief that races are not subject to some form of continuum, including the possibility that someone may be a pure mix of two races. You can be 50% black, 50% white in principle. So there's never been a problem with the continuum being denied. Never. Even in old, very old, outdated conceptions of race. You may have had some people, maybe more than 100 years ago, deny that the races could make viable children together, mixing. They would deny race mixing, but that's probably because there wasn't much, they hadn't seen much of it. Now we've seen enough of it and we know that race mixing exists, that there's no one in the modern world who defines race as meaning they can't reproduce together. So there's not much other than this to debate. Then we can talk about, of course, the political trends in each races. Maybe that's something we could debate. Ariel Suarez says, and Ryan agrees with JF's position, the position JF described just now. Yeah, I don't know to what extent. I think then he would say, okay, so that grouping is not so important. We don't have to care much about race. I would say given the predictability, the predictive power of race, we should care about it a lot. Thomas Howard says, did JF already cover the story on AI being able to identify race from CT imaging with near 100% accuracy? Yes, I covered this back in the day. There's not much to say about this. It's not surprising. Anthropologists were able to tell the race of craniums, like craniums even with some damage and some incomplete craniums. So, of course, a CT scan would be able to establish this. Putin, the unipolar world has ended. The West is headed for a change of elites as Russia emerges stronger. The Russian president criticized the European Union over the decision to impose anti-Russia sanctions, calling it crazy and not well thought out. Putin said that their goal was to crush the Russian economy in one go, but that they have failed to achieve this. Instead, EU politicians delivered a serious blow to their own economies, prompting high inflation, the president stressed. He estimated the cost of the sanctions fever to be around $400 billion this year alone and noted that the measures will become a burden on regular people's shoulder. I think this is exactly why I took an anti-Ukrainian position in this whole thing. It's that I see, if this reality comes to be even partially true, I think it will be a better world. If Putin can represent this other strength showing up in the world and destabilizing the West as a power structure, I would definitely enjoy this and I would consider that we have made the world progress. John Drake says, Russia has been preparing for this multipolar world for 20 years, and they've prepared well. That's beautiful. Beautiful. I would like it to be true. This teacher was just arrested for reportedly having sex with a 13-year-old student while recording it. And apparently they were... This teacher was in the past saying that right-wingers are projecting, you know, when they start worrying about grooming, they are projecting. They say they're fucking acting like we want to do kids porn or something. But something I've learned through this is that, oh my God, what is happening with Twitter? Twitter is bugging tonight. I can't even get the tweet that was right in my face. Look at this. Waiting for cash. He's waiting for the cash. The cage. How do you say cash in English? Snowjohn says, JF, I have revisited a debate you had with Molyneux about UPB versus moral nihilism. Has your position on morality changed at all since then? No, it didn't. I'm very happy about my positioning on moral nihilism. I still consider that UPB has certain defects to it. Some of it I've explained in the debate. Some of it I didn't have time to go through. But basically, UPB is not objectively rooted. That is that was the center of the debate, and that is definitely still true. UPB is a moral framework that is wished and desired by a specific type of brain with certain axioms. And it's axioms that are very human. It's someone who desires morality to be objective, but in doing so, he sets up a framework that has no objective root at all. What it has is the subjective root of Stefan Molyneux's inner desire to have morality be objective. What really comes out of this book is just how much he wants it to be objective, but how he cannot make a case that it is objective. Because if you start by saying, well, we're going to see what kind of moral position can someone rationally argue about, and what kind of moral positions can someone not rationally defend, you're already in the domain of the subjective here. You're in the domain of the subjective because you've had a human mind needed to define what was rational, by which standard were you going to review these arguments, and your initial preference is also an axiom. Why would an action be moral? Because you can argue it. This is making basically the morality of action isomorphic to the position you can take in a debate. Who decided this? Why are we in a world? What is objective about the fact that your actions should fit your words, or that your actions are only moral when you can argue in a debate that they are moral? Who decided that human debate and standards were the objective source of morality? And what would happen if some other species existed that wouldn't debate? They would just act. Shel Burns says, I stopped watching Stefan when he stated that parents had no right to indoctrinate children into believing in God. That is a point of extreme tension with the libertarian mindset. Because libertarians have this obsession, and I don't have it. But libertarians mostly come to their belief with set assumptions around the unit of freedom. And the unit of freedom that is basically almost always what will it end up being is the individual. And so they think, well, a parent here, a child here, that's two individuals. The child should have absolute liberty. Therefore, anything that the parent imposes on the child is authoritarianism. That is a hidden assumption of many libertarians because they never get challenged on this. But see, my conception of libertarianism includes an umbrella of protection over the family. So to me, libertarianism is not so much each individual must have freedom from each of the other individuals. To me, it's we have to create a world in which this different type of family can exist. And I have no issue applying a libertarian approach to an authoritarian parent or a religious parent who would impose on their children a given set of beliefs. Of course, that's not something I thought when I was a leftist. When I was a leftist, it was revolting to me that parents would raise children in highly religious, highly indoctrinated backgrounds. But as I grow into a libertarian, I've been accepting that you have to let the freedom to be to this style of parenting. Because who knows, maybe it's better. And in fact, you could argue that the data indicates that it's better. These people who end up in solid moral frameworks from religion and who end up in solid families, they will end up with better markers of basically everything. Health, mental health, satisfaction with life, production of babies, everything is better. So you have as a libertarian, to me, being a libertarian is not so much obsessing about the single individuals and how they need to be liberated from any other individual. It's more, we should create a world where things can be let to exist. And these things must be let to exist if they don't drain energy from the rest, if they don't impose stuff on all of us after. So here's one thing that shouldn't exist. It's state dependence and people leading like Marxist revolted lives, but not being able to pay for it and begging the government to come to save them. That shouldn't exist. But a bunch of parents producing their own babies, not stealing the baby of anyone, and raising them in the way they want to, that should exist. And that's what differentiates me from 99% of the libertarians out there. I leave the liberty not to only one degree, the individual. I give it to groups of people who are legitimately tied by other interests, such as biological interest. Red wave becoming more likely in the eyes of political forecasters. Not surprising. We've seen it coming. I hope that this comes to fruition, but at the same time, what is going to be accomplished by the Republican Party in a legislative session? I don't think much will be. Here's what it would mean to these Americans if Biden canceled student loan debt. Okay. So they're talking about Biden. They wanted $50,000 in student debt cancellation. Biden is talking maybe about $10,000 in forgiveness. This whole thing is a scam. You have just given that money to students. They've given it, they tried to buy their future into society by basically giving that stolen money to teachers, and now it's gone and they can't pay back because the future they were promised doesn't exist. It's simply not true that you will unlock great employment opportunities through studies. The markets are super overcrowded. The cronyism within the system of employment is absolute. People hire each other not based on need, but based on family links. And, oh, I got this cousin, let's hire them. Or, oh, this person knows this person, let's hire them. And you have to be in this whole social networking to get the jobs. So basically, the whole social ladder doesn't exist. It's a lie. DK Shadow says they got rug pulled. Exactly. There was a rug pull of the idea of having a future. The fact is that having a future for the general human being, adult, That will have to be true only for one generation, and it was the boomers to have this kind of opportunity to get big employment, the big union jobs. The systems have since then adapted, and human work has become also less desirable and associated with more risks. New fossil fuel ban. Obama orders 2,500 gallon propane storage for vacation home. In the latest display of elite hypocrisy, former president, climate change scaremonger, and green energy promoter Barack Obama is installing three propane tanks at his $12 million Martha Vineyard property with a whopping 2,500 gallon of storage capacity. That's very interesting. How much does it cost to buy propane? Is it a cheap gas? Because I don't have a tank for propane. But if I could get a tank of 2,500 gallons, I would love to have this to make some cooking on fire. That would be awesome. But what's the price? Do you guys know on the chat how much do you pay to fill a 500 gallon tank, let's say? John Drake says, no, it is expensive. What do you pay by gallon, or do you pay by pressure? How does that cost? How much to fill a 500 gallon propane tank? I've never. Shell Burn says 120 pound takes $170. Well, and then 120 pound. What does that mean? How much do you can you, how much burning is that? How many steaks is 120 pound? Shelburne says £120, $170, but last year was $270. Okay, so is that the amount of propane you consume for a regular family to cook every day for a whole year? Is that what it is? Interesting. How much energy input in £120? Yeah, those are questions that are still on my mind. Anyways, I don't feel like I need propane. A barbecue grill propane tank is £20. Okay. £20 of propane. And it doesn't last much. You turn on the barbecue a couple of times and wow, so £20 goes quick. I guess it's not worth it. It's not worth it at this price. I thought there would be some kind of a special for a large quantity. I thought like I want infinite propane. And they would come with the big truck and give it all to you. Biden briefed as US says third American, a retired Marine officer, missing in Ukraine. Not surprising, they have been sending mercenaries. These mercenaries are getting captured or killed. That's what's happening. Shelburne says $270 for 2 years is pretty cheap. Is it? Is it cheaper than electricity? I don't know. Guy from V says £20 of propane includes the tank weight, and £20 lasts quite a while for just cooking. Okay, so it's not a true £20 if that includes the tank weight. Abortions have stopped in South Dakota. We have prayed for this day, and now it is here. Now we must redouble our focus on taking care of mothers in crisis. Help is available for you. Adoption is an option. You are never alone. The South Dakota governor a based woman is celebrating the fact that now we have laws banning abortion that are starting to pop out. And even if the Supreme Court decision reversing Roe v. Wade has not happened yet, but it's so expected that the legislatures are preparing in advance for it. Well, that's great. It's great to see the Republican states converging back to their natural state of hating abortion. Musk hit with a $258 billion Dogecoin lawsuit after leaked comments on Twitter crypto integration. During his all-hands Q&A with Twitter employees, Elon Musk let slip a few details about his thoughts on crypto and payments within Twitter. I think payments would be an interesting to do as well. Well, sued for $258 billion over alleged Doge pyramid scheme, Johnson v. Musk. Keith Johnson sued Musk and his companies, claiming they engaged in illegal racketeering to raise the price of Doge. This is what happens when you're against the machine. Look, I'm so disappointed with these lawsuits. They always tend to go after Elon Musk. And it's like, you just lost money because you bought crypto during the peaks. Deal with it. You've been buying an asset that was in a bull run. You have to keep it now up to the next bull run. If you truly believe in that asset, it should not be difficult for you to do. I'm keeping my Bitcoin. I'm not going to go complain, oh my God, my Bitcoin are worth so little now. No, I believe in Bitcoin. So I keep my Bitcoin up to the next bull run. And they should do the same, but they went for these third grade tokens like Doge and even worse than Doge. And it's like, yeah, you know you were taking a risk if you buy fucking Doge. Certainly. And it's not Elon Musk's fault. All right, a last news item before we close the show, unless you guys have last round of questions. Thomas Howard says JF would be well served to look into a 2000 plus propane tank and propane capable appliances and heat if he is interested in a decent rural off-grid capable setup. You can go months and months on a tank. That's interesting. I don't have a huge amounts of money to throw at this, but if there was a reasonable price and it could be it's certainly interesting in terms of having this option, you know, having an option if the other things go wrong. Me and Mama JF just got a huge truck of logs dumped on in our court, two cords of wood. I'm pretty happy to have this option because you don't know what's going to happen with the price of heating oil. You don't know what's going to happen with the price of electricity. It's always good to have the go back to the basic wood logs and enough to heat for a whole winter or two. In fact, I will be building a building so that we can store these massive amount of logs. I'll be building a little roof so that they can remain dry during the winter and not be covered in ice or snow. Guy from V says, two cord, what type of wood? It's just hardwood, split, beautiful, seasoned, ready to use. Those are the best logs. That's what was delivered. And on top of it, I'll be cutting my own because I have to cut a couple of trees anyway. To allow more sun on the property. So I'll be having a couple of trees by the fall that will have been at least chainsawed, probably not ready to burn, but will have We'll have them maybe in next winter, not the one that's coming, but the winter after. John Drake says, in rural areas, you can't always get natural gas. This is why people use propane. On natural gas, I wouldn't know how to get this. I've never seen natural gas here in Canada. Maybe it exists, but I don't know about it. Florida woman Danielle Redlich, acquitted of murder charges in death of stepdad turned husband. There is a lot to unpack here. But I just want to point out, no matter what has happened, I cannot help but notice that a woman has been getting away with murder one more time. Now you can say, is it healthy for a stepdad to eventually marry their daughter? No, certainly it's not. But she was an adult, so she was an adult and she had the opportunity not to marry her stepdad. But she didn't use that opportunity. Instead, she killed him. And look at the ages. I mean, he was 65, she was 48. Redlich appeared to burst into tears once the verdict was read. The thing is, there's no reason why this is not a murder. And if a man in the same situation, imagine a 48-year-old man kills his 65-year-old wife, who was also his stepmom, he would end up in jail. But whenever it's a woman who commits the murder, they are so willing to close their eyes and act like it didn't happen. I find this scandalous. It's a double standard in our treatment of woman versus man. Thought Criminal says, JF, have you heard of Eliezer Yudkowsky? He's been recently talking about how humanity is doomed and how super intelligent AI will almost certainly result in human extinction. No, I haven't heard of him. What is happening with my internet? Holy shit. It's not Twitter, it's the whole internet. The whole internet is bugged. Well, I'm trying to follow your. I'm trying to follow your link. My God, I'm gonna have to end the show because my entire browser. Maybe here, if I try with this. No, there's a bug with my browser. Listen, I'm going to have to keep your link in my tabs, but I'll consult it later tonight because my Google Chrome. Oh, maybe if I open a different browser. Edge. Microsoft Edge. Always there when you need it, but kind of creepy. It's like Microsoft Edge is like the creepy uncle who knows very well how to do something, and you know that he can very much help you, but you're gonna have to go discuss with your creepy uncle. AGI, A List of Lethalities by Eliezer Yudkowsky. Preamble, blah, blah, blah. I have several times failed to write up a well-organized list of reasons why artificial general intelligence will kill you. Okay, so he has basically a list of reasons why AI will kill you. Artificial general intelligence will not be upper bounded by human ability or human learning speed. A cognitive system with sufficiently high cognitive powers, given any medium bandwidth channel of causal influence, will not find it difficult to bootstrap to overpowering capabilities independent of human infrastructure. We need to get alignment right on the first critical try, where unaligned operations at a dangerous level of intelligence kills everybody on Earth, and then we don't get to try again. We can't just decide not to build artificial general intelligence. We can't just build a very weak system. We need to align the performance of some large task, a pivotal act, that prevents other people from building an unaligned AGI that destroys the world. The best and easiest found by optimization algorithms for solving problems we want an AI to solve, readily generalized to problems we'd rather the AI not solve. Okay, he seems like... He seems like someone who's been doing in-depth thinking about the dangers of AI. I need to read more because he has like... How many points is that? He has like 42 points, 43 points. And it is my impression, based on the points we have read up to now, that he's not talking about evolution. To understand whether AI are dangerous or not dangerous and when they are dangerous, you have to understand the potential relationship between AI and genes. And that means considering an AI that people use to beat other humans evolutionarily. You can have an AI that punish the users evolutionarily. You can have an AI that is more intelligent, but in the process may have beneficial or not beneficial impacts on your reproduction. You can have, finally, an AI that modifies human genetics, which is the one type that leads to complete human extinction, because there are no solution to evolve away from it. Unfortunately, it seems that this person, Eliza Yudkowsky, has forgotten the revolutionary phenotype in all of his thinking. So someone go see this guy and explain to him that he's missing a critical piece of information in understanding, first, the relationship between AIs and evolution, regular evolution, and secondly, in the context of phenotypic revolutions. Shelburne has sent a super chat. He says, hey, Mama JF. Well, thank you, Shelburne, for supporting the show. Guy from V says, I will defeat the revolutionary phenotype in open combat. I don't know that that's possible. And I have to go get writing on the moral signal, because someone published on Discord a recording of me saying confidently in 2020, I'm absolutely certain, guaranteed, that the moral signal will come out in 2020. We're in 2022 now, and it's not finished. I have to find a way to integrate the writing routine to my new life. I've just had so much stuff fall on my shoulders. Family responsibility, caring with the farm, the greenhouse, and establishing this house here, building everything, renovations. Hopefully I will find a way to at least put in a couple of minutes or hours of writing every day, and that's just how I will be able to finish the book. I have to get going. Much love, and I will see you all tomorrow.